All right, here we go. Another question from the community.
Dude, these are the best. I agree. It's just fun, you know what I mean? And I will say too, it's always nice to hear back from people after we have talked about the question that they've written in. Whether that's, you know, they'd reach out and contact us directly or we see it on the YouTube comments. There is something nice to the recognition that, like, hey, you know, I appreciate you talking through my issue, and it actually genuinely helped. I receive that message regularly, and it that's nice. So,
well, hopefully
glad we can do it.
Yeah, hopefully we can do it again. So,
yeah,
this person says that they're a longtime listener and fan, so, you know, appreciate that. Let's see. Basically, the question is, how do you think gym owners should go about deciding what is considered RX for a given workout? A little context. I just moved to a new city, started at a new gym. At my old gym, the RX weights, reps, and time caps were set up to be broadly accessible. I would estimate that 70 to 80% of the members could do the prescribed workout within the time cap if there was one on any given day. I think this created a strong community. The workouts were very challenging, but we were all in it together. And the coaches would even sometimes encourage people to scale up if they were really strong in a particular movement, which was extra affirming and personally made me feel seen and valued as an athlete. Part two. At my new gym, got a new gym now, the RX standard is very different. The weights, reps, and time caps are usually accessible to the same three or four people, including the gym owner who writes the programming. Generally, most members do a scaled version most of the days. The coaches do always give lots of scaling options, which is great. But it's also weird because it never really feels like we're doing a workout together as a community. Rather, it's just a bunch of individuals doing their own individual personalized version of a theoretical workout. I understand it's good to have goals and work towards, and I know there should be a stigma attached to scaling. Honestly, it just doesn't feel great to go in day after day and see a workout where I'm like, well, another day with another thing that almost no one here can do. But maybe this is just a reflection on me needing to check my own ego and mindset and reframe what RX means. Curious to hear your thoughts on gym owners setting the RX standard at their gyms.
Well,
cool question.
A lot of meat on the bone with this one. Yeah. And I have two things that jump out to me immediately upon hearing that question. And the first is kind of a war drum that I'm going to continue beating probably until, you know, we stop talking about these types of things. But that is like, hey, where is this couched in the greater culture of what's happening in this affiliate setting? I think that is really going to have a huge influence on whether or not this is something that is actually a problem or if it's something that's just like, yeah, this is just kind of the way it is here. And that's just one more reflection of the people that are happening to be attending. So that's one is the culture. And the second thing that jumps out to me a lot about this was this part where, you know, the individual was talking about, oh, and I just lost it. Oh, no, a total brain fart. My goodness. Okay, so he's, oh, gosh.
So let's see, old gym, accessible, strong community. Yep. We're all in this together. New gym.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. So the part where he's talking about, sorry about that. It feels like we're all just doing an individual workout in a group setting.
Yeah.
That to me is one of those kind of reading between the lines, red light moments that goes off in my head that says, what does the rest of the class look like? Because in my opinion, if you have somebody who's like a very skilled coach with a mixed group of individuals doing a mixed, you know, kind of approach to a workout, meaning a lot of different scaling options, there are so many things that you can do within that class structure to still make it feel cohesive that you shouldn't be coming away from it with this feeling that like, I just kind of show up and do my own thing, or at least that's the perception that comes away from it. So to me, I would love to be a fly on the wall for a session to see what is the rest of this class experience like, and is it heightened or hurt by the coach's ability to keep the cohesion of this class? So
yes.
just the thought that comes to mind.
And I'll be right there with you that, you know, and I won't harp on it, but you're right. Culture, culture, culture. That's going to be, you deliver the same message in two different cultures and it's going to be received totally different. So yes, 100% to that. I'll also say, just to not be devil's advocate, but play the other side, right? As to old gym versus new gym or whatever it happens to be, without having more context of that. Like, and gym owners trying to have the workouts be appropriate for what's happening. So there's a couple things here. First of all,
yep.
You're sitting in front of a flag that says Forging Elite Fitness. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a slogan I haven't heard in a while, but it was all over the place when I first started doing CrossFit. It wasn't forging mediocre fitness or easy fitness or even fitness for everybody. Quite frankly, it was forging elite fitness. Like, it was hard. It was actually really hard. And if you understood how to scale and modify it, yes, everybody in the world could do it. But the actual like workout of the day was really hard. And myself and my friends who were relatively fit coming from the special operations community, would get humbled and crushed every day and could not do the prescribed workout of the day, even coming from that background, for literally years. Mm-hmm. Like, some things, like Isabel, took me probably 5 years before I could do that darn thing. And so, like, there was this thing that was hard, and it doesn't make it right or wrong, right? And CrossFit.com wasn't programming for me. You know, they were putting out this workout of the day for this theoretical athlete that they had in their head. And then I was looking at that and trying to make it fit for where I was. Mm-hmm. And that's not right or wrong. That's just how it was. And they were forging elite fitness. So that's on one hand, the forging elite fitness. It's darn hard. And I just had to adapt to it. The other part of figuring out a prescribed workout every day for your gym and your community is it does certainly depend upon who your community is. Whereas like CrossFit.com had this theoretical athlete that was not standing in front of them. Well, if you've got 100 members, they are actually standing in front of you and you can see them. And so are you wildly missing the mark every single solitary day? And, you know, is your class generally people who are north of 50 or 60 years old, relatively deconditioned and overweight and struggling with athleticism? If every day has got handstand walks, full squat snatches, ring muscle ups, and L-sit rope climbs, I don't think you're reading the room very well. And your RX, even if you're giving great scaled options that everyone still can, you're not reading the room. Or is everyone in your community roughly 25 to 39 in decent shape, looking to get after it every day, kind of that fun competitive? Well, the workout of the day, if you're programming for that community, is probably going to look a little bit different. So I will say, you know, one of the things is, without knowing from gym one that this person left to gym two that they showed up at, is the coach reading the room appropriately, you know, and based upon what they said, is the second one. If it's true that only 3 and 4 people every day are actually doing it prescribed, and let's assume that there's 100 in there, so that's 97% are not. If that's true, and I'm reading it that way, okay, it could be fair to say that you're not reading the room well right there.
Yeah, I'll pick up on two threads that you laid down there. And the first is that out of reach is okay.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with out of reach. And that's something you just need to get comfortable with. I mean, if my workout logs are to be believed, I'm coming up on 20 years of doing CrossFit workouts. Started first recorded CrossFit workouts I have in my old school journals are from 2004. And there are still plenty of things that are out of reach for me when I see them. You know, some main site workouts, some just regular programming from friends that I see. I'm like, yeah, dude, that weight is out of touch. That's out of reach for me. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, so out of reach is not a problem. That's got to be kind of at the foundation. Aspirational is okay. I will play the other side of that coin, though, and kind of augment what you were talking about, which is that I think if you're looking at a program broadly, there are plenty of great workouts across a well-thought-out program that are not inaccessible to people and still challenge the best. And I'll give you an off-the-cuff, easy example that's just dirt simple. 30 seconds of work followed by 30 seconds of rest for 10 rounds. That's 10 minutes of work on the Echo bike. Let's go. Get a good warm-up in, practice some skills, hit that hard. It doesn't matter what your level of fitness is, you will be able to find a threshold that challenges you. You could be the beastliest, fire-breathingest, savage athlete, and if you attack that with the intent that is, you know, deserving,
oh yeah,
it's gonna light you up. And likewise, if you're new to the gym and this is like day one, you'll be able to get through that. You'll need somebody to kind of guide you so you don't come out a little too hot, because that's easy to do. But you'll be able to get through those 10 minutes at a pace that's appropriate, and it'll be awesome. And so my question is, looking at the program more broadly, why are there not more opportunities where the workout itself at the base level should be accessible to a wider group of the population, but still have plenty of challenge for the top? So that would be another thing that I'd be very curious about in this scenario. Number one, what's this group cohesion looking like, just beyond the nuts and bolts of the program? And then number two, programming for a high level athlete does not mean that every single workout has a skill requirement or a loading requirement that is just so far beyond the average person. Mm-hmm. And I would go so far as to say that if it does, you're missing some really valuable elements, because there is a ton of utility to moderate loading, moderate reps, hitting that hard, and being forced understand that there's no way to rest or take a break within that. That's a critical element. And I think it can be overshadowed sometimes when you start looking at an athlete that's like, quote unquote, high level.
You know, again, everything I'm going to say here, I'm going to just piggyback off what you said, right?
It's okay. It's piggybacked off you.
So it's the culture thing, man. It really is the culture thing. Like her first gym or her second gym, neither one's right or wrong.
Sure.
I don't know why I said her. I don't know who it is. They didn't even put their name in there. You said he, I said she. So we're gonna cover all the base here. I don't know if her first gym or her second gym is correct. If the culture's rock solid. So I want to make that assumption. Culture's rock solid, great staff, great community. They make people feel welcome. If in that gym, you've got a workout of the day where 70 to 80% do it prescribed. And if the most mission critical thing is happening, which is people are getting fitter, faster, and stronger, that gym's doing great things. If you go to the second gym and it has a fantastic culture, and you know what? We do things just a little bit different than your last gym. These workouts on the regular, they're pretty darn challenging. But you know what?
Yeah.
Like she even said, we provide great scaling options. So it sounds like that's never an issue. Like there's a way for them as good coaches to make it fit you. And then you're wrapped in this culture that there's no stigma attached to that. There's nothing bad about it at all. Yep. We're all in this together. And you know what? You're right. You are doing a bit of an individualized version, because Randy over there can walk on their hands. And that's really valuable. We don't want to shortchange Randy. But today, that's not for you. We've got this scale that you're going to do. And if you don't like the word scale, it's a modification. It's option B. It's option C. It's whatever it happens to be. But we're going to take that stimulus that Randy's getting, and this meets you where you are, and you're going to just thrive as an athlete. I personally don't have any drama with that either. If both of those operations get the culture right and their athletes are getting fitter, faster, and stronger, again, being an affiliate model, not a franchise model, that's just open to how you do that. And if those things are in place at both, I got no drama. Now, if one of them is somehow injecting something weird in there that you're not doing the prescribed, that's an entirely different kettle of fish. But devoid of that, I don't particularly have an issue with either one of these things, as long as people are improving and there's just a good family vibe in there.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And that's one of the subtleties that I think, a coach needs to be in tune with, an affiliate owner needs to be in tune with, is what's the presentation with these options. Is it like, okay, man, here's the workout. It's going to be super awesome, but you're really only talking to three people. Oh yeah. And we got these other scaling options. You guys figure it out. I mean, that's clearly a message that would be loudly received by the vast majority of that group, that, hey man, maybe there isn't as much thought or attention given to the group. That's a bad situation to be in, right? But to your point, that could be mitigated so many ways, that if it's just like, hey, here's option A, B, C, and D, and the coach has the connection with each one of those members. That's like, hey, Pat, today, this is a B for you today, because I know we're still working on this skill. Hey, EC, this is definitely an A workout for you. And it's just like this no nonsense. This is where you're at. This is what's going to bridge you to the next step in your fitness. Awesome. Giddy up. Let's go. Right. And then I think where the rubber hits the road is another point that there's subtle messages that can be sent. Where's the coach spending their time? Are they gravitating towards these fire breathers? And that's all that they're kind of interested in. Okay, well, that's obviously a problem for a lot of reasons. But if the coach is doing their job and they are, you know, I love this old kind of Greg Glassman way of thinking about it, where he's like, if you are effective at doing your job within that class, everybody should step away from the class being like, dude, he was on me every single time my technique wavered. And everybody in the class should have that same experience, right? Everybody should feel like he was just Hawkeye right on me. If that's happening, then, hey, you know, yeah, whether or not the workouts at their highest level are representing the majority or not, I don't know if it matters, right? I think these other things matter a lot more.
Yeah. And, you know, now to just to peer under the hood and say, maybe there is something nefarious afoot. You know, like, they said, you know, I'm going to play that devil's advocate now. Yep. Same 3 to 4 people always crush it. One of them's the gym owner who writes the programming. Okay. So if you wanted to play detective with the programming, you know, you've got high skill movements that might eliminate some folks, you know, but high skill movements are valuable for, you know, the neurological components. We have many a show on that. So handstand walks, you know, ring muscle ups, snatching, clean and jerks, box jump, double unders, rope climbs, GHA, sit ups, strict weighted pull ups are going to eliminate a lot of people. They're a fantastic movement. Those should be programmed, et cetera, et cetera. Is that happening every single day, or is it with an appropriate smattering? And like you said, there's plenty of ones that are more basic and lower skill because you should have them all. Mm-hmm. If it's the high skill every day, that would make me go, that's interesting. Loading. If you've never seen a thruster that's below 135, something's peculiar is happening there. Mm-hmm. There's never been a deadlift below 315. So you could kind of do that same investigation with the loading because you should have very light to very heavy and everything in between. And you know what? Maybe the skill selection is spot on and the loading selection is spot on. But like you said, maybe every time cap's crazy. All right, it's Fran, you got to do it in 245 or less. Okay, well, good workout, good movement selection, good loading, like crazy time cap to set for your class. Or if you don't finish Helen in 7:30, you're not doing it right. Okay, well, that's not right either. So you could do a bit of an investigation with those things and see if something is just kind of missing the mark there. But if, you know, and if so, well, then there's something worthwhile that you should pursue because that's that's not good on a whole lot of levels. But if all those things kind of shake out, you know, then, you know, it just might be a recurring theme that we're going to have over and over again, that some things just bother some people. And maybe if prescribed and scaled bother you, would it bother you if that's not how things were labeled and whatever used to be considered prescribed was just now option A, and then there was option B and option C and option D? Would you walk into the gym, have an honest conversation with yourself, and if it didn't say prescribed and scaled, it just literally said option 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that's how you selected, would you feel different about that? If so, then it's not the gym, it's not the coaching staff, and it's not the programming. It's just, you know, how you interact with your environment and how those words, I don't know, give you a reflection of yourself or whatnot. So again, just things to kind of to roll around.
Yeah. And I'll approach this kind of final thoughts from the coaching and affiliate angle. You know, I think this is something that if you're responsible for the programming, sometimes, you know, you're in your groove, you've got your system laid out, whatever that is, and you're putting these workouts together. There's a lot of variables there. Sometimes you're not always going to consider the group with every decision. That's just the reality. However, I think it is important to step back and say, okay, how many opportunities do I have, like I mentioned before, where this is an RX workout and everybody can hit it at their level, and they're all going to come away with a similar effect regardless of their fitness. Mm-hmm. How many opportunities exist like that? Because it should be a lot, you know? Like if you look at any max lifting day, like that is by definition personally caterable to anybody. It doesn't matter your experience level, right? You're all trying to get to that threshold, but the weight is going to be radically different person to person. That RX is the same. Because it's not dictated by a specific load, you know? There should be lots of opportunities like that if you're the one in charge of the program. So that's one aspect of it. And then I think the other aspect, like I mentioned, is, okay, just paying attention to if we do have a couple of heavy hitters at the top and they are staff, you know what I mean? Is there an opportunity for them to make sure that they are humbled at times, because everybody should be. This is the name of the game. Not everybody's like a flawless fitness machine.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of finish with a story that I heard years and years ago from one of my favorite old school CrossFitters, Brett Marshall, from CrossFit Calgary. Old schooler of the old school. And he said that, hey, over the years, he's had coaches that got a little too big for their britches. They thought that scaling was beyond them. And his response to that was like once a month or so, he would just throw down a workout that was not absurd. Like, yeah, maybe somebody out there could do it, but nobody in the gym could do it, to include the coaching staff. And so they walk in and they'd be like, well, what is this workout? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, what? So you have to scale? You have a problem with that? Mm-hmm. Why? You're telling our members to do it every single day. And after a couple of those, they got the message. Hey,
that's cool.
The RX isn't the important thing. The important thing is what's right for today and what's going to get me to that next step. And if you're not willing to take that medicine, how do you expect the members to do that? So I thought that was kind of a fun approach.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, that'll work. So hopefully some of this stuff helps the individual that wrote in. We, genuinely wish them well, and hopefully some of these things get figured out. If you want to help support the show, go to verynotrandom.com. Check out the cycles. Check out all the cool stuff to help your fitness journey. And if you've got an idea for a show or thoughts on this particular topic, go to the BTWB YouTube channel, find this show, leave a comment. Thoughts on this topic or ideas for an upcoming show. All of you out there, listeners and viewers, all of you drive the content, so we appreciate it. It's your show. We're just taking care of it. So for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.